It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Love.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show right here in Honolulu, Hawaii, in the beautiful downtown Chinese Culture Plaza. The rain is falling, and as always, it's a beautiful day. So, quite a bit to talk about, and if you have something you want to toss out there and let others hear to discuss it, feel free. The number is 888-5204, 888-5204, and that's a 808 area code for those that are listening abroad or in other states, Wisconsin, Michigan, wherever. We got listeners all over. I'm always excited to know that they're interested in what I have to say, or they're just interested in Hawaii. So anyway, there's a lot of things going on, and they say don't focus on the negative, and that's true. You shouldn't focus on the negative. But when it's a burning boat, just a blaze and sinking ship, and it's metaphorically, it's fitting of our nation and the path that we're on, and it's also telling where we are today and what are we doing. How reckless are we? I would say, if you ask me, we're reckless, and we are headed for a derailment or a major crash, environmentally, socially, and all, because people do stupid things, they say stupid things, and they think that they're right, and the other guy's wrong, and the other woman is wrong, and, you know, so all of that bundled into one, we call that the human race, where they're off to, maybe an Iron Man race or something, but where they're off to, who knows? I don't think anybody knows today. We used to have purpose and love for nation and love for neighbor, and the other guy struggles, we want to work with them and build them up. Now it's tear them down and tear anybody else that encouraged them to build themselves up. So we're in a cycle, folks, but we'll keep it local here. If anybody has seen any remnants of Suzanne Case, the director of the chairperson of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, could you give us a shout here at 888-5204? She's missing in action. We know we have whales that are dying on the beaches in Kauai. No Suzanne. Oh, Susanna, won't you sing for me, you know? So, and then there's her ace coon boom, as we used to say in elementary school, Mr. Daniel Dennison. We haven't seen him, and it's estimated or reported that he makes some $119,000, nearly that, or almost, or something, to be the senior communications manager. And yet, we have a major stranding of quails, which is under the watchful eye of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And I know, hold your fingers, don't call me and tell me that that's a National Marine Fisheries Service responsibility. No, it's still the resources of the state of Hawaii, and the feds do give on a joint enforcement action a handsome purse of money, almost $1 million, if not $1 million, for them to help nurse and cover up the bad things that happen to the marine mammals, such as the pilot whales, you see. And so we've seen some lame reporting from the newspaper here. I'm completely convinced now that the Star Advertiser is nothing more than a banner for the National Marine Fisheries Service, the military, and anybody else, because that pays. They get to get them on the plane. They wrote articles about the pilot whale. You didn't see one comment from, or didn't even bother to solicit a comment from the public. It was all what they thought, the NOAA thought, what NOAA was concerned with. And NOAA is the one who's covering up. DLNR is the one who's covering up. You wouldn't dare introduce a statement made by a public citizen. So it seems that there was another article. We talked about the monk seal that was killed, and Noah kept it secret, and so did DLNR. And then when I fleshed it out and got to the bottom of it and forced them to admit, at least admit it, then it became, well, we didn't tell anybody because it was a strategy, because we wanted to catch who it is. But, you know, that nonsense. So the newspaper, and I'm just in trying to be as honest as all get up, and that is, I contributed substantially to that information, to the newspaper. They wrote an article and then sat on it, and the city desk and the editors there decide, well, they don't want to do it because Carol Cox's name is involved. Can you imagine that? So not just to include me in an article, it's not my concern, but you do want to include the public's view or the public's concerns in these issues and these articles, because they do have them. And in fact, it's the public who's been insulted and whose intelligence is insulted. And I've had a number of stories that I've shared with the Advertiser. And, you know, I say this because we hammer on this issue. The New York Times, one of the papers that held off on the gentleman that is accused of raping and the movie stars or the starlets or what have you. And they sat on that story. And I look back now, the Advertiser, for some reason, and I'm beginning to understand why they're being sold and why there's so few reporters there and why it's on the brink of, first of all, this, take for example the pilot whales. Now they stranded about early morning. They were stranded. I was posting pictures about 8:15, going through the motion of receiving and posting pictures. And then a day later, the Star Advertiser comes along and writes a story. So really, I'm beginning to understand now why they say the newspapers are nothing more than a dinosaur just waiting to die off. Because if you can get your news 24 hours before whatever they present as news, and then sort and you know, I consider myself a person who is mindful and watchful and want to see good things done. And when you start to deny me, then I wonder to myself, well, gee, what do you do with other people who just call you with a minor tip, but I call you with greater details, and you don't, you write the article, and then you sit on it, and then you draw the conclusion that you don't want to do it because I'm involved and because it might make you look bad or embarrass you when you are the professional reporters and the professional newspapers. So by printing or referencing me in a story, it would look as though, well, what the hell are they doing if Carol Cox is doing all this work? That's shameful. If that is the case, and that information has been shared with me, if that is the case, shame on all of you intellects, because this is a simple process. People can care for their community, for the environment, and for others, and speak out. They don't have to have an award-winning article that they've written before they're acknowledged or before you become respectful of that and mindful of that. And for some 20, 26, 28 years, I've given that and never charged a nickel for a picture, never charged anything, because the idea behind my motives is to simply try and strike a balance where there's a niche of information that is not being told or being excluded or being sequestered. I believe that that's my role. Now, like many of you say that I was anointed to be this and deliver the word and whatever, well, consider me one of those people who've been anointed, if there's such a thing. And so I speak out that way because a couple things. I'm 65 years old now and just looking right around the corner. At what point do you stop trying to rationalize bad behavior and just tell it the way it is? Because at some point, if you hold it inside and you observe it, it gets worse, it exacerbates itself. But then what happens? You encourage and embolden them to think that, well, we're the professionals, but really the ship is sinking as it relates to newspapers. And now I'm beginning to understand why, you see. it's social media. Unfortunately, many of us are older and we haven't become familiar with electronic news, and there's this element that this is fake news and that kind of nonsense. And there are people that will abuse that and create to try and influence you. But we don't have any part in that. But anyway, you take the boat, for example. The news stories, the line goes, well, it's on fire, it's owned by this guy, it's a 2L company, and blah, 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 right? And there's so many things that could be touched upon, spoken to, written about, exposed, that would bring some sanity to this whole practice and this whole thing we call Honolulu and the Hawaiian government and the federal government and the relationships. And that is, we know we have spent millions. We know we have put fences around the harbor. We know that we hear terrorists are in the woodworks, terrorists are in the flowers, terrorists are in the bakery, terrorists are in Zippy's, terrorists are everywhere, terrorists, terrorists, terrorists. And they can come at us in any way. They can come at us in spaghetti packages. They can come at us in noodle bags. They can come in at the terrorists. We need more money. We need millions. And it's going to cost us millions to fortify our borders and whatever. And here's a vessel, 79-foot vessel called the Pacific Paradise, comes into the harbor, we'll call it the harbor of Honolulu, or in the main shipping channel, and flounders, drifting back and forth, aimlessly, wandering within the shipping lane, to say the least, and also within a marine management area that is identified and managed by the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, and a special management area. And you have this boat logging around, just drifting around. And we have the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard does some fantastic work. If it wasn't for the Coast Guard, I'm going to be very honest with you, we would be up to our neck in nasty, polluted water. It would be filthy because state agencies don't have the intention of doing anything. They just want the money. They're lazy, they lie, they cheat, they steal, and then in turn they walk up and say, we're here and we're the authority, but when you consider what are they using for their authority, they're stealing us blind, they're just taking everything away, our trust and everything. So the Coast Guard is in there. If there is a boat that is fishing illegally, the United States Coast Guard is a platform that NOAA might take the credit and say, well, yeah, we NOAA does this and we're going to give a ticket. But the U.S. Coast Guard has a C-130 that immediately picks up when there's a major violation, or not even major, and they're out there. They're boarding. You don't have many special agents in the National Marine Fisheries Service doing much of anything because the upper management don't want much done. So without the Coast Guard, I submit that we would be in slime today as it relates to the environment. But then what is it? That's their role, is to protect the waters of the United States. So having said that, it's not all bad about the Coast Guard, but in this instance, the boat coming into the harbor, and I call it loosely the harbor because I don't know exactly where this boat went into the channel, the main channel, or stayed out. But what we're learning, and I've spoken with people that are close to the owner of this boat that is aground, and as you know, that in April of this year, early April of this year, or April, we'll just say, I think around the 17th or 20th, this same company, the 2L, T-W-O-L, LLC, Hang Lai is the one of the owners, and another Nguyen and a Tron. But you can go to DCCA if you are interested in finding more information on this. But and things happen. I mean, having boats, you're going to have some kind of accident on occasion. I mean, there's no perfect world, and we're not scolding this person for that. It, you know, as I say, you know what happens. But in this case, In early April, there's a vessel called the Elizabeth. And the Elizabeth caught fire and was engulfed in flames and burned substantially. And it was basically taken out of commission, taken to Morisco, refurbished, repainted, and renamed to the Pacific Dragon. Pacific Dragon now sits at Pier 37. Still legal, nothing illegal, not to impugn this person, but this is information that should be told and should be out there. So the gentleman that owns this, or the people that owns the Pacific Paradise and the Pacific Dragon, or prior, formerly known as the Elizabeth, were en route, went to Samoa to pick up fishermen. Now, some of you may go, oh, they were smuggling illegal. No, they weren't. And that's part of the other conversation of this conversation that I want to impart on you, and the information about our, how fragile of a situation it is and how irresponsible it is of Tulsi Gabbard, Mazie Hirono, Mr. Schatz, Ms. Hanabusa. And I'll explain that later. But these men were aboard this vessel en route back to Honolulu, where they would be dispersed, and with the knowledge of customs and with the knowledge of all parties and regulatory bodies, and it's a known, so please don't write me and say I was wrong by saying that they were not illegal aliens. They were not, because the system, it does not stand up and take ownership. Our legislators do not. They have given us a bum deal. This is an industry. It's regardless whether you like it or whether you think the Associated Press article says it's slave ships and what have you. It's not slave ships. It's just where our legislators are showing them true selves. They don't want to get involved, but they know they have to keep it going, because if they don't, then they'll lose face with their buddies who are in power in the fishing agencies. And imagine being a fisherman, owning a fishing boat, and you, one day it's hot, one day it's cold, you might likely end up in jail or bankrupt, because you got to go defend yourself legally against this practice that is allowed and that everyone knows that it's taking place, and everyone's turning a blind eye in government and what have you. So you're left vulnerable as an owner of a boat or a fisherman, because our legislators don't want to finalize things. Imagine a place where, if this is an industry and no one wants to work in it, or competition, and the workers come aboard and they live here, then why don't the legislators come up with funding and treat this industry as a viable entity or engine that runs our economy or contributes to our economy, and build a dorm or come up with some legal method or some document or vehicle that say that if you're the owner of a vessel and you're going to participate in this, then you have the responsibility of this person that comes in to, and then you must do certain things. But see, they won't do that, they being our legislators. But they were quick to have this industry, and I'm going to tell you, if you think you have issues with what I'm saying, I will invite you to go to EnviroWatch.org. I am the entity, the individual that first brought out this whole subject of longliners and their crew and what have you, where years back, while no one ever even gave a damn. And I shared this earlier when I received a call from Associated Press, Martha Mendoza, I think is her first and last name, but I told her, based on what I observed in the past, that has completely changed, because our legislators and our customs and everyone knows what's going on, and they are basically putting the fishermen in jeopardy. And so when something bad comes, such as this article, oh, they're slave ship owners and what have you. Well, damn it, if the fishermen, in my opinion, what I know now, if the fishermen or to be impugned or deemed for being evil people, then our legislators are just as evil or more, because they have the power to do something. And our state legislators, when they hopped up, and this is a problem when you have young people just being emotional and they introduce bills, oh, we're going to change this law and we're going to address this in the state level. We're going to address this illegal alien and this slave climate that works for fishermen. And yet, those same monkeys come annual opening of the nice big parties at the state capitol, guess where they get their sashimi from? Guess where they get their big plates from? From the fish auction that was caught by these, quote, slave fishermen. And they want to go and make a rule that says, so this entire process is gobbledygook. I mean, it's an insult to common sense. But nobody asks the question. Nobody states the question. We see our Hiranos, she just melts away. Chats, champion of people, melts away. Hanabusa, just, well, she's busy changing, playing hot potato, hot seat, or whatever that is. Tulsi Gabbard, aloof, over in Syria. We got people here that if you thought that it's slave ships that are running here, then you should have done something a long time ago about it. What does that say about your ability to legislate or your sincerity? So, having said all of that, just going back to the Pacific Paradise, this vessel comes in, now that I've laid out that they were not illegal aliens, because everybody knows that they come here and it's sanctioned and what have you, but it's on the low key, you know. It's like the girlfriend. You don't let anybody know we're dating or whatever, you know. But we're an item. You see, it's an insult to the lady as well as an insult to you and anybody else that got common sense. So this vessel lay out there and flounders, logging around. You would think, based on all of the technology that we have at our disposal, and protecting this harbor and this shipping lane and the threats that we turn on TV, there's a threat every day. And we're orange and yellow and red, and a boat 79 feet with 20 people can come into our shores and not one person intercepts them. Not one. And now when I say person, I mean professional people, the people that are trained, that we spend billions on educating about terrorists and smuggling and all of that. It could have been a boatload of Quaaludes and nobody got excited. Could have been a boatload of nuclear weapons. Nobody got excited. Not one Coast Guard vessel, not one DLNR vessel go out there to check, to say, hey, dude, you know, it's uncommon to have a boat that's 79 feet just floating around in the channel here because, you know, we do have boats coming in and transiting this area. And in fact, not just boats, we have ships. And then we have military vessels and we have sensitive materials here and all of those things. And, oh, and boy, you do know that there's a potential for terrorist acts against our tourist industry here, and you see this big 79-foot boat just drifting like Jaws coming in and creeping up on the shoreline, and then imagine, they're all terrorists, loaded to the teeth with bullets and bombs and all whatever that they terrorists carry, and just disembark, hop off the boat and run ashore, and boom. And where's everybody at in the Coast Guard? Where's our defenses at? The people that have declared that if I walk down there today with my camera and stuck my camera in the fence, I will be approached and confronted by a security guard saying, well, you know, that's illegal. This is a secure zone. But a boat, 79-foot boat, with 20 individuals coming in from foreign countries, no, not a darn soul. And what I'm told is by someone that was close to and has a relationship with the owner is that the captain was asleep. Most of the crew, the people aboard the vessel, was asleep. It was some of the crew that ran and woke the captain up. They said, this is what was conveyed to me. Allegedly, this is what they say. And in doing so, they informed him that they woke up to the bumps and thuds hitting the boat going over the coral. Well, by the time the captain gathered his senses, I'm told, it was aground. Now, follow this sentence. Well, they didn't declare a mayday. Well, it doesn't matter if they declared a mayday. You have people on duty watching the border, supposedly. You have monitoring devices and high-tech equipment that knows, and each vessel has a signal to it that generates and beams it out. But even it was in an area that you'd have to be completely blind with hood over your face, asleep in a stupor, not to see this vessel drifting about. And if you didn't get alarmed with this vessel moving about, that's what suggests to me in my past law enforcement background, this person isn't going direct to it, so clearly there's something wrong. Maybe there's a coup or something, or someone pirated the ship. Who knows? And then get up here and get lost, or can't get the bearings right, or what have you. This ship, this isn't about a fishing boat that went aground and then it poses a threat to the fish and to the people. This is about a system that costs billions of dollars, and it's relying on people that falls asleep or just too damn arrogant to do their job, or just, well, I just think that's a, what is that? Oh, don't worry about it. But when we have cruise ships in harbor, there's a practice that you'll see the Coast Guard taking their rigid inflatable hull vessels out to check to see if there's any potential threat before the vessel leaves, the cruise ship leave, or just some basic security. Now, you would think that this vessel would have fit that category. Red flags should have gone up. But what happened was the captain was supposed to call and report this within 90-some hours of his arrival, alerting him. He arrived earlier than about at nighttime, about 9-ish. And then he was supposed to be here around 2 o'clock, but all of that just things, I don't have all the specifics, but these are the general pieces and bits and pieces that I got. So is this about the environment? Yes, it is, and we'll talk about that, but this is more than that. This is about a potential threat can drift like a log going undetected into our harbors, into our major sea shipping lane, in and out, and nobody did anything. Nothing. And now they're all sitting on their hands. I know you see them standing around there and, yeah, we're going to plan this. Well, first of all, they don't. No need of planning because you don't know what you got. We don't have a fire boat anymore. And I'm sure we're going to have more fires on boats sooner or later. We have no fire boats. The fire department came and attempted to put out the fire, and I don't want to ever second-guess this fire department because they do what many of us would never be able to do, and a day's work of theirs is more than we would do in 5-10 years. But the vessel, a fire started, and it was associated with the use of a gas engine for pumping the water. Mistakes happen. Wave hit the boat and causes the pump or the can or something to tip over because the pump was hot, I guess. That would have created a problem in the flash point of gasoline. But that's water under the bridge. When you're trying to unstick something that's stuck, you know, you found it when you should have used a screwdriver, you end up using a knife, you know, and then voila, pop, you cut your hand or whatever. So it's understood. But I understand they've spent, just in ropes alone, they snapped two ropes, and about, what I'm told, is about $40,000 just on ropes. But guess who's missing in this entire conversation? Suzanne Case and her illustrious $119,000 pay job to, that's what we see on the thing. It suggests that this gentleman makes this amount of money. Where is his statement? We want to know, does this pose a risk? What was this vote? We want to know the specifics. This isn't about, well, you know, we got to be careful and protect the rights of the people aboard the vessel. You also have to protect the interests of the people on the shoreline, called state taxpayers and citizens, that you should be informing. You don't have to give greater details, but be there. Show up. We're paying you. And so this really is I mean, I'm hoping to sound as mean-spirited as I am, because at some point you have to just call it what it is. Enough of the rip-off, our legislators, when we want something done and it's money, here's more money. Taxpayer catches it. And then at the end of the day, the taxpayer sits there wondering, I wonder why that boat is out there. Were they smuggling illegal aliens? See, they were, you know, and, oh, it's on fire now. Well, what about the poor fish? And what about, you know, that kind of conversation? We shouldn't have to tolerate that or put up with that or endure this. But it speaks to the entire process. David Ige appointed Suzanne Case. Suzanne Case was cheered on by the environmentalists, the conservationists, and all of those groups. And yet they won't speak out. And I mean, this is called dropping the ball, y'all. It really is. At some point, you got to stand up and say, just like the guy Chang you thought was a zero and or whatever you described him as and unfit for the job, then you need to chime the same words for Suzanne Case. If you can't meet the basic needs or the basic purposes of communicating with the public and letting them know what is going on, it's sitting out there in the opening. It's smoking. You would think Suzanne Case, that this would be her time to rise to the occasion and high-fiving and talking and, yeah, with the public. But you don't see that exchange. What you see is federal authorities are working with the Department of Health, and they're working with, and they're working with the Coast Guard, but you don't see the DLNR in there, and it's their kuleana, it's their land, it's their under their purview. Now, yes, they had, unfortunately, they had game wardens out there on jet skis, you know, riding around. It looks good. Hey, great. But come 9 years from now, when the game wardens show up with cancers of unknown origin or unknown types or a major illness or ingesting oil that had spilled or ingesting, they're out there. It looks good, folks. It was picture perfect. If you ask me, if I were to stage an image for a movie, I would have duplicated the same thing, but I would have prepared them in that I would have had the game wardens out there on the jet skis looking good, baby. And I would have put them in a wetsuit looking good, and they're out there with the life jacket because they want to live. They don't want to get hurt. But then, as you watch it, they're downwind of the burning smoke, the boat, and all those pollutants, the styrofoam that were burning, the monofilament from the wheel of the long line burning, and all of that soot and smoke and the gases generated from that, the game wardens are sitting there looking good, baby, sniffing good. It's just so great. I would encourage you to go get your lungs checked and what have you, because those fibers that you were inhaling downwind could cause mesothelioma, because boats tend to have, and if you watch that boat, and I felt really bad for them because they're just doing their job, but to expose these people, these men and women, to these really dangerous elements is just wrong. What purpose were they serving? To keep the people from going close, the swimmers and all, whatever? Because you see, not a lot, but they estimate 200 gallons of fluid from the vessel, or diesel or whatever, you had hit the water. But the burning, these boats have foam pumped inside the walls. They also have wires, and they have pipes. And these pipes have insulation. And these insulators are asbestos. See, at some point, I know many of you are probably going, this guy is just off his rockers, and he's just, you know, he's just wrong. He come on too strong. But at some point, how many times can you observe dumb behavior that subject people's health, exposing them to deadly situations? And I would be worried about how I come across in telling you this or repeating this and offending someone. So when you see that boat out there, a calamity of errors? No. Shoddy government work. Irresponsible people in government with specific agendas, self-serving, because if they were concerned about the overall package, they'd have their people there standing tall. They'd have masks on. They would have the public. And I still can't believe. See, this is when we worship the dollar so much here in this state about tourism, that we would let people sit some 300 yards away from a burning vessel that is emitting smoke and all kinds of impurities into the air, and people are breathing it, and some are swimming and recreating, which you're going to ingest more. And you don't even close the beach. You don't put a warning sign up. You don't move the people. You don't have nothing. But what you do have is a big tent, so the people from the Coast Guard and the State Health Department and all the other people that are standing there with nothing to do, keeping them from getting a suntan. That's an insult. Now, I know you're never going to read this in the newspaper, and you're not going to see it on TV, but I'm just telling you the natural facts, folks. You can take it or leave it, and just, you know, for what it's worth. But these are the things that have presented themselves, and who knows how much asbestos was belching out of that boat yesterday. And at some point, people were still working around it. Not a single mask. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, that sure is a doggone shame that you make a point about so much exposure to danger in one instance. There's so many more that I've heard of, like, there was a 40 or 80 North Korean submarines just vanished and then returned, and nobody could follow them. And then the new 5G wireless network, that's 5 gigahertz of microwave. And then the ELF, extremely low frequency macrowaves in the ocean. I don't know how that might have hurt pilot whale, but what do we do? There's so many dangers.
Well, I guess one thing would be to let people know that they exist, first of all, and then let you know how we love our phones and love our technology now, right? So it would be up to the individuals.
You're very busy, man. How much is your phone against your head?
I don't. I wear an earphone, an earbud.
Yeah, that's a good protection.
Well, it's not perfect, but...
That's probably not.
And I do like you. I mean, it's not something you can take lightly. But, you know, it's like if I really want to be safe, I just stay home and order food from Amazon.
Yeah, you hope. I've heard of the amount of particulate matter that's allowed in food. Oh, gosh, Carol. Well, thanks for letting me just mention that upcoming danger, the 5G network. And, you know, those Cuban diplomats and stuff like that were hurt with ultrasonics and whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the words attenuate, but those 5G networks can be maybe attenuated or tuned to a way that will hurt us as well.
Well, yeah, but, you know, what are we doing?
Well, it seems like we're being governed, and it seems like we're being managed, and it seems like we're trying to live lives. And the government, because of their exposure to high levels of information, may be so freaked out that they're just trying to not pass out themselves and protect the public.
Right. Well, I don't know there's so much to be said about that, but, yeah.
I mean, just by disinformation or non-information.
Right.
If you overload a person, they're just going to, I don't know, almost turn out like me. We're just curled up in a corner going, ah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about the whales and all of that in the next hour and a bit more of this, and we'll get back with you. So feel free to call back.
Thanks, Carol. Bye.
Right, aloha. So, now, if there's someone out there believe that this is all nonsense, then welcome aboard, because this is a nonsense train today. We're going to stop at every station of nonsense, because nobody wants to talk about these things. But I stood there yesterday and I said, people were asking, big lens, great lens, and, what do you do? You sell your pictures, and do you work privately or independently? And I don't know how to say to the public or people asking questions, no, I'm the dummy in the bunch. I'm the guy who takes his own resources and go out and look at things that where professionals get paid for it and get appointed for it to protect the public from these things or these horrible conditions. And I'm the one who spends my time, my money, my interest, and tolerate the nonsense and the questions and the treatment so that people can at least be afforded some bits of information that will give them a better insight as to how well they're being or how badly they're being screwed or how badly they're being taxed. And I will tell you, if you're listening, game wardens, conservation officers, I would find me a path down to a clinic, and I will have them to go on that boat, because you breathed some impurities yesterday, my friends. And anybody involved, because, see, they didn't have on the white suits because of the conditions of water. It was a marine environment, and it's not safe. You wouldn't want to put a mask over your face. But if you were going to burn and let the boat burn, and you had no means of putting it out, Coast Guard, then clear the area. Because the wind was eddying in there and whipping it up. And I stood there and I thought, wow. The Coast Guard and all these people, well-educated, they're looking out for us. They got themselves a tent to keep the sun out of their head and keeping them from getting dark. But the other people out there, they're just breathing it in. And those officers, and so there were a few young Coast Guard officers also driving around in a small inflatable, rigid inflatable, and they too were breathing. So they were there to beat away or chase away the people that would get too close. Yeah. So that's a tragedy, folks. And we'll talk about the whales because it all is related. Our leaders don't care about us or care about our environment or care about nothing but themselves and their agenda. They can pass a bill to tell you can't smoke with a child. And I agree that we should never be smoking around children. I wish they were around when I was a child, because I recall, and many of you out there might recall the same thing where your parents would tell you, your mother would tell you, or your older relatives would tell you, go light this cigarette. And so as a young child, you would be smoking. Because you're not smoking the cigarette, you're just lighting the cigarette. But to light it, you got to put it on the eye of the stove and then puff it. I don't know if you're willing to admit such a thing or recall that it's so long ago. But that's what we're doing to our officials and our enforcement people. We exposed them yesterday to something that I believe that in the future they will pay dearly health-wise. But Suzanne Case, she got a law degree. Suzanne Case, she's well known in the environment, can protect the bug that flies backwards in the wind at 90 miles an hour. But when it comes to respecting human health and the health of the environment, where is she? We'll be back in the next hour. This is Carol Cox. You can go to carolcox.com or Carol Cox Facebook and look and see some of the pictures and postings that we have.
Right back at ya. It's the world's most talented record label, Murder, Inc. And that angelic voice you hear in the background, oh, that's our new princess of hip-hop and R&B. Mr. Sean.
KWAI Honolulu, K10. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Girl, yeah.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here. Having all kinds of fun and don't know where to start and don't know where to stop. But we were talking earlier in the early hour about the boat that's on fire, the was on fire, is on fire. That's aground, we know that. Maybe it's now pulled off, but I just got a text picture that apparently it's still on the rocks unless it's changed since. This was sent to me in text, but if you have any pictures out there, you want to send them, text them to me at Carol Cox Facebook, or go to 782-6627 and send them in. It's just a crazy, crazy world out there, and not the world itself, but we made it crazy. So, you know, we're still waiting for the governor to announce or decide if he's going to sign the bill that would, the bill or the amendments or the modifications to the deal, Dobar's rules, administrative rules to allow them to shoot cats in the head and whatever they say. Well, we didn't say that we were going to shoot them with a rifle. Or we were, it, no, you didn't. You said we're going to shoot them anyway, kill them any way that you desire. So I was being a little polite by just saying, you know, try to not shock the public sense, because if you kill them the way you desire, knowing how you people think now and how irresponsible you are and how insensitive you are to people, that you would expose your own officers to a deadly, smoky-filled air with possibly asbestos and foam burning and all those things. And, you know, shucks, we should just not worry about you because we can trust you.
Right.
But anyway, the governor is rather in secrecy or something. Maybe they've already signed the bill and just waiting. But this is about the cats, allowing them to kill the cats. And there needs to be a management for incorporating the people that feed cats and all as part of that management effort, not demonizing them, not criticizing them and threatening them with arrests and what have you. That's really going to fix the problem. That's going to be just like you fixing the problem of the people coming in a boat that you don't even bother to inspect or investigate and just let it run aground. We know what this will turn out to be. It will become a tool. You, DLNR, will weaponize it to arrest people, to harass people, and to destroy people. And I think the governor should really just, I mean, if he wants to have a viable race this time, if he want to be considered as a viable candidate, what I'm hearing on the streets and what I'm hearing in my emails, these people are not just going away to the circus and being entertained. They're taking a stance and saying that this, you will be the second governor with a second, with no second term. You'll be a one-term governor. And why is that? Because people are fed up with the nonsense and the quiet diplomacy and the secret diplomacy. But yet, things that are obvious, you still don't even speak out to those. So we have to draw our own conclusion. And the sad part about it is that the average person is trusting of the government, but, and we don't want to be half-cocked and say the wrong things. We want to be informed so that we can then make an informed opinion. We want transparency so that we can make an informed opinion. But the way it works now is that all that's left is what tidbits, and we have to piece those things together to come up with a rational line of thinking, and then we're subjected to criticism by your thieves in the night that call themselves contractors, that then you put them up to attack the people going, well, you know, we have cats here and there, there's thousands here, there's thousands there, and there's and, you know, but the discussion is with the government and the people, not with the contractor. So it's a disservice to the environment. It's a shameful practice. You can't be critical of anybody. You can't be critical of Mr. Trump or anybody, because you guys in this state, you've written a book on how to screw the public. You got a PhD plus on steroids, the way you treat the public, the taxpayers in this state. Never seen anything like it. I'm from Mississippi, and I tell you, you want to talk about a scary state, but then you start looking at Hawaii, because everybody here in government, pretty much, many of them in the leadership, they've gone to college. They got a law degree. They got an engineer's degree. But the degree of put the screw to the people seems to be a little more intense here. And no shame about it. I would be so apologetic if I was Suzanne Case and the governor. In these last 3 days, or the last 2 weeks, we find that the DLNR has knowledge of a monk seal, a pup monk seal, being bludgeoned to death, or killed. That's what they say. The necropsy shows that it was suspicious injuries. Okay. Well, maybe do you mean that the monk seal got mad at its mother and took a rock and go beat himself upside the head? Or do you think that the mother took a rock and beat him for the baby not eating his squid or eating his eel that she gave him for breakfast? What does that mean, suspicious? And so we're going to do a necropsy. But then we can't release a necropsy to you. That's on the monk seal. But finally they write a story and they say, oh, yeah, well, they admit to me that, yeah, we did have one. We didn't want to say anything, but we'll admit that we did. Okay, now we get past that. So the whales now, they say the same thing. Follow this. With the monk seal, this is this pattern of lying and cheating on all levels. I suspect personally that the Navy or the Air Force, they have a major testing going on. They just got their permits and what have renewed and incidental take permits and all. And we're going to talk about that probably next week. I got to do a little more checking and all. But you see, what we've done in the past is that where they use a sonar, and we suspect that the sonar was a problem of contributing to the death or the erratic behavior of the whales. For example, during this time of a while back, the Navy denied. We didn't have anything to do with the whales being erratic or whales dying or beaching themselves. This was a few years ago. But we did document, document that the calibrating vessel was moored at Hilo side on the Big Island. And it was calibrating its machines, and the whales, what I witnessed on this island, was a whale and her calf inside of Hanama Bay trying to get away from the sound. And if you go to EnviroWatch.org, you can see where we did this study and documented where maybe 100, 150 whale calves were dying. And each of them were associated with the sonar. And then also, see, when they practice over there, they say, well, we didn't have any testing going on within the last 72 hours. Well, what does that mean? Are you saying that you know that your activities will harm an animal, but won't harm them? It takes 72 days, and, you know, it was confusing. And while offering that statement, that's not an assurance. What that has assured me is that you know that you're a suspect. You know that you contributed. And by the way, they have cameras. They have everything. that can see 50 miles, 60 miles out. It's no secret. It's in the environmental impact statement. And they can document marine mammals on the surface of the water. And they're required by their endangered species marine mammal permit and all of that before they conduct the test. They must have an observer or flyover to look and identify what species are in that area. So that's not a secret. And this is what we had in earlier years. And shamefully, many of those people were flying in single engine airplanes and observing the mammals that were going to be in the area impacted possibly. And they say, oh, we couldn't see. It was cloudy. And it was, you know, so always letting them off the hook. So I propose that if you follow the thinking and the practices where they set the baby monk seal, suspicious injuries, as so somewhat, and then in turn you say you're going to do a necropsy, but you can't release the necropsy to the public, as if the public is going to take that necropsy and the results of it and run and find the people who killed the monk seal and go, hey, bruh, take this copy of this necropsy and tear it up so they won't know. Is that why they don't want to release the necropsy? The report? It's nonsense. It was a cover-up and a cover-up and a cover-up. David Schofield works for the government there. And you, if you look at all of his reports when he's given a statement, it's all the same lame, limping. Well, you know, he want to give you a history of the behavior of monk seals and behavior of whales when he has zero knowledge of, there's not been any studies sufficient enough for one to be consistently repeating and uttering the same garbage. But then when you ask them, oh, we're going to do a necropsy, and we brought in the native Hawaiians and consulted them, well, there's another part of this team too, folks. People that have a right to know that. And why are you withholding the necropsy this time on the whales, the pilot whales? That was, at the time we reported, there were two had died at about 8:30 in the morning. That's when we had gotten that information. And others were beaching themselves. And I think I have not seen it for myself, but reports say five died. Maybe different now. I don't know. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments, question.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Cox. This is Don.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Don. Eric Cox. I'm just sitting here listening to your radio.
All right. What do you think about that boat? You're a boater. The boat. Do you think the military, the Coast Guard, could have overlooked that vessel floating around out in that channel?
I don't know. I don't know why they can't pull it out of there. It's still intact, you know.
Well, as far as removing it, I suspect, looking at it, the way the coral is, I'm suspecting the hole is in the hull anyway, and that boat is not the best condition. So yeah, I believe that what's going to happen, what I was looking at it and its position, I think it's going to, unless they use balloons or give a little flotation to it, it's going to break up.
Yeah, the longer they wait, the worse it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had the opportunity. So what's happening on the cat front?
Well, they're still pushing me. They're going after me on my parking now and everything. They've changed the security to where it's more strict. And I don't see how they can run this place as a private club, you know. It's supposed to be a public place, you know. You can't have guests. You can't have people down to your boat. You can't enjoy a boat like a boat's supposed to be enjoyed. They got too many restrictions and stuff, and they just keep going and going and going.
Do you have a letter identifying or enumerating the number of the changes, the rules or that they've issued you? About visitors and what have you?
Well, they just put a security guard up and nobody can get in unless you have the green parking deal on your car. just can't get in.
But if I park on the street or someone drop me off, I could come in. Is that right?
If you get residence here, you can. But if you don't have a boat here, you're not getting in.
So you're saying that if you invited me down to your boat and I don't have a membership or card to go in, I can't go in as a guest of yours?
No. Not after 10 o'clock anyway.
Oh, okay, well, now you get, not after 10. So there's you can, but there's conditions.
Walk in, but you cannot bring your car in.
Okay, we got that part, but when you say they won't let... If someone dropped me off, and then how long am I allowed to stay? When can I come in?
Well, till 10 o'clock. They shut it down at 10 o'clock.
And this is a new rule, or what?
Yeah, it's a new rule.
Mm-hmm. And who's...
It's an unwritten rule, you know.
And who's checking the security guard is approaching everybody that comes in and
that's right. They block the gate. They just close the gate, and if you don't have business here, you ain't getting in.
Mm-hmm. So, and what's the explanation for that? Did it control what? Theft? People just coming in, ripping off?
Oh, they've got plenty of excuses. Mm-hmm. Just like on the cat deal, they claim that it's unhealthy and everything else, but, you know, there's nothing. There's nothing there to be proven.
Mm-hmm.
They can't prove any of it. But still, they work on it, that it is a proven fact.
Right. Okay. Well, we're waiting for the governor to announce his decision on this matter. So let's see what happens.
Well, Underwood's already making procedures that it's a done deal.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Well, let's see what he does, and then we'll try and deal with it as he did without. Because if we approach him now, they'll say, "Well, no, it's not rules yet." So, and
what I understand, if the governor's already signed it, he can't renege on it. He has to go with it.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be putting that out there because I have no proof, nothing that he has signed it, unless somebody. Shame on the person that knows that to be the truth and not give the specifics.
Well, some of these animal clubs are trying to push Colleen as governor so that she can at least defund it, you know. Because
Wow. It's
a horrible deal what they're trying to do, and it's way too much power they should have to just do whatever they want.
Well, there are other people also running, so you know, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and say that Colleen is not with my airtime. I mean, if she's going to do something, let her do it, and then we'll go from there. But you know, that's
all right.
All right. Okay. Well,
if you could just alert your cat people, the animal lovers, that this new law is a horrible thing.
The proposed one, yeah. Okay, well, we'll do that. Okay, Don. We'll
talk.
I'll talk
much.
To you soon. All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hey, Carol, it's Dr. Jill.
Hello, Dr. Jill.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I stopped back on the island.
All right. So.
And I wanted to bring up that issue is still alive, as far as I'm concerned, about DLNR killing bitter cats at the harbors in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage folks to call or email Governor Ige, well, he's governor, and tell him that the DLNR is responsibility. The DLNR is supposed to be concerned with breeding cats and not the neutered cat, that community members that actually did something to reduce the population should not be criminalized, slapped in the face, put in jail, and it is morally and socially absurd and wrong. And just tell Ige that as much as people can, so he understands that we're not going to be fooled. They can't tell us that these cats are a health risk. It's way, way ridiculous that they should say that when the cats live in the bushes and they're actually doing more good than harm. The neutered ones. Now, if people have gone and neutered them, they did a huge, huge benefit for the cat population, and they did that what was right.
Well.
Also, one other thing. When I went to the hearing, they had the few people that did talk, about this is a good thing to, the cats are a health risk, blah, 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 and the giant flies. They're talking about the Fishermen Association is talking about giant flies, which, I don't want to go into that. But they talked about Katy Lagoon. And so I went down to Katy Lagoon, and I'm putting something on YouTube about the only cats that were at Katy Lagoon at 5:30 at night were just a few cats running way into, pylons. And nowhere near the ocean side, nowhere what they were saying about children playing in the sand, none of that was true.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm here. You get them to exaggerate, and they get an audience, and they just need to compliment their move forward to just do it their way. Nothing more. Not considering other people or anything. It's they want it their way, and I mean, it's kind of sad. There is no room for the cats. They've actually put buildings on the facility, and they were told they can't be crushing boats and storing boats, and they're still in that mode. You see, but they're not worried about people breathing fiberglass and asbestos and other chemicals and lead when they crush the boats up there or store them and they break up. You follow. So it's one big lie, and it's unfortunate that's what they're doing. Well, anyway, okay, well, you're back here, and did you hear about the pilot whales dying?
Yeah, first time I heard about it was just this morning, so I'm just waiting to hear more information. I just thought I'd bring up that about the cats now, and I'd like to hear more about that.
So before you go tell us about the process of a necropsy, just the basic information. When they complete that, would a necropsy jeopardize if for right now the whales die? And if the government released the results of the necropsy, would that jeopardize in your way, or you see any reason that it would jeopardize a quote, investigation or case?
Oh, absolutely not. No. And, there's other agendas of why they keep that separate or secret. For example, that they were claiming had died from toxoplasmosis. The necropsy, if another pathologist looks at it, he can say, you get another expert to look at it, and they can say something completely different, like there might have been a primary cause, like that wasn't the only cause.
Mm-hmm.
So there's agendas of keeping that. And I don't know about the whale, but this for sure is not going to do anything that I can imagine that would interfere with any kind of investigation. Mm-hmm. If anything, it would bring it more to the surface.
Mm-hmm. But we see this repeatedly. Well, because it's an investigation, we now admit that it's dead. Here's a picture of it. It's dead. We know the age of it. It's dead. Where it was killed. But we can't tell you specifically how it was killed. Now, are they saying that the person, they know who the person is, and the person has a murder weapon or the weapon used to kill it, and they're just not going to admit or tell how it was killed, so that person would destroy the evidence?
Oh, I really can't imagine that.
Yeah, so, but each one of these incidents, strandings or killings of marine mammals, they all take the same path. They're going to reluctantly tell the if those whales didn't wash up or swim into the Nawili Willy area, they probably they would have put ropes around and said, it's closed area, keep out. You know? And we would be left trying to figure out what it is that caused them. But this practice of, for example, I read in the newspaper, there was an article yesterday, and it said, as it was trying to explain, and laboring it, trying to explain why we should accept this, and it's really not a big deal. And there's 2 points I want to make here. One of those was that, well, in Japan, they were trying to talk about decibels and noise being made to impact. So in Japan, they take pipes and beat them together and make a sound to chase them to the beach. Now, why would they be taking metal pipes and beating them in Japan and chasing them to the beach?
The
fishermen, Japanese fishermen, take pipes and beat them together and make a loud noise and to chase the seal.
They want to round them up?
So they can eat them, right?
Right.
So I was trying to figure out what relevance does this have to do with anything as far as with the relationship between pilot whales being stranding themselves in such a large number. And so that was one. And then two, the reports, when they go over and fly and document these reports, they said that they're going to do the necropsies. What would they be looking for? Some people report that they had blood, and I'm not asking you to diagnose this, not be having been there, but they described as had blood in their eyes, the quails had bloody eyes and bloody ears drums. With that, and then some suggest that, you know, with the recent dumping of the poison, and I want to be very careful about suggesting and inferring that the poison is the cause of the culprit, but right now it's, quote, an investigation, so we can't rule out anything. But
right.
That
would, yeah, definitely be a suspicion of toxins.
Mm-hmm. Would the diphenone, was that a blood thinner? Or which one is the blood thinner? Warfarin or what? Cumin?
Yeah, warfarin.
Cumin.
Warfarin is the one that we're getting the owls also that have been rat poisoned that
right.
Can't clot.
Right, prevents clotting. And so could that have possibly be that they ingested poisonous water or poisonous food or fish that had ingested that it
I would imagine that would be one of the rule outs, one of the possibilities.
But by releasing the necropsy, would that be a jeopardy or jeopardize their quote investigation, or should they just feel free to just release everything so that take the wonder out of the public?
Well, they're supposed to be transparent, but they never are.
So
they want to think of an excuse. They have all kinds of ways they can get out of being transparent.
So let's follow this. With each time these things occur, they say that, well, the Navy gets its chime in and it gets its golden microphone, and well, you know, we weren't doing any testing and at this time, and we don't think it was ours. Why haven't we seen a major call for action on the part of the NOAA? If we know that each occasion that the Navy and the military testing is ruled out, shouldn't we be concerned in being aggressive and looking at other causes, being more aggressive? It seems like we're just so passive and docile when it said all they seek to get out is that the Navy's not responsible. So do you think that they're derelicting their duties, they being NOAA, when they just go, well, we rule out the Navy and the military, but we haven't looked at the other things, and we're not going to look
at... They're just worried, obviously not really worried about the preventing it. They just want to prevent themselves from getting, you know, in trouble,
So that suggests to me that they know that the Navy is, because if you know that the Navy can declare that they weren't responsible, then you have an obligation as NOAA to be more aggressive and do a major study and invest in these to prevent these occurrences, because we don't know what they are if the Navy is not doing it, right?
Right. So, and they should be out there knowing if anybody's in a boat doing it. They would know that right away.
Right, but we don't see that, see. And that's why I'm offering that to the public listening, is that there's this big lie, and it's a sham, and that the Navy knows exactly. It can target a pod of whales. It can pick up on its radar. It can pick up with its aiming devices and identify specific pods, specific animals, single animals. And whether to shoot or not shoot, or they're supposed to wait until animals clear the area. But if who's enforcing it, if NOAA is covering for them, then why should they bother to go through the steps? And so anyway, that was one of the things that I want to ask you. Well, thanks for calling, and then we'll hope to see you.
Yeah, thanks, Carol.
All righty. Aloha.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I got 22 minutes if you have any comments or thing you want to get off your chest or share with others or something burning, give us a call. 888-5204. This is the Carol Cox Show. And anyway, with this practice of NOAA, and I know, as I said, if you can't say anything good about anybody, don't say anything about them at all, right? Well, this isn't anybody. This is an entity, an institution that is daily around the world, and activities such as these are impacting our resources and our oceans and our seas, and we need to take back. And that's, I'm not against testing. I'm a firm believer in that if we need to have a development of weaponry and prove that they can work and all that, have at it. But if there's a marine mammal take and there's permits that you get, adhere to the conditions of those. And NOAA should not be giving them away just like candy at a circus if you're the 10th customer. So what happens is that, give you basic information, there's a marine mammal act, the Endangered Species Act. And in those acts, in the Magnuson-Stevenson Act and all, but in those acts, what happens is that some of them allow for escalation of use. So, for example, at one time, the fishing boats off of Santa Monica, California, Santa Barbara, along the coast of California, or fishing boats, commercial fishing boats, NOAA allows this to happen and follow this. Now, when I was a game warden off on the patrol boat in Catalina Island, so we get a fishing vessel that was based here in Honolulu at one time, and we were out patrolling nighttime, and this night patrol, we're sitting in a small fiberglass boat out at sea and tucked away in Isthmus Cove, Catcat Cove, in that area off Catalina, waiting for, we had gotten reports that people were brailing at nighttime and shooting the monk seals, shooting the seals and sea lions that would come in and cause a fish to disperse. Well, they had a permit, this boat had a permit to take fireworks and throw it in the water and do that and scare them away. If that didn't work, then it would, they could escalate. Well, we laid there in the dark, and when they started to brail, turn on the lights, attracted the squid, and they started to brail, sea lions came up, and immediately they took their .22 rifles and started shooting and hitting the seals, killing the seals, the sea lions. So I go and I sneak up aboard the vessel, and we seize the weapons, and we do all of that, and we get back in the boat as we're sitting there waiting for other things to happen. The seals come along that had been hit, trying to get into the boat. None of that was illegal, by the way, because they, Noel said that we can't tell if they escalated and used the first step or the second step or the third step because Noel don't go out to sea. They don't have the patrols. They rely on the state agencies. So it's one big lie about NOAA and its practices. It's an agency. If you want to get rid of an agency, get rid of NOAA, the National Marine Fisheries Service, and give back all of the responsibility that you see. Anything that interacts with fisheries or that would impact fisheries, NOAA has a responsibility so that they, if the fishing boat says, hey, the monk seal is eating our bait, well, you wouldn't want to go to the Fish and Wildlife Service and get a permit for that because they'll tell you go stick yourself in the foot and go away. Basically, you're not getting the permit. But NOAA, because it is to enhance fisheries, the National Oceanic and Atmosphere, and its Department of Commerce, you see that hint now? Under the Department of Commerce, anything that interacts with any marine mammals that interact with fisheries or commerce, you get a death warrant signed for you. So polar bears are marine mammals, Fish and Wildlife Service, because polar bears don't really impact any fisheries. Seals do. So guess who has the responsibility of the seals? Turtles get hooked on the long lines and the lines, fisheries, and the nets. So guess who can exempt the people from that? The Department of Commerce. And they give these permits to escalating permits, you know, to as I've described to you. So when you see a NOAA agent, just know that he or she is just part of a problem, of a cover-up that is extravagant. The elitist form of cover-up in government. But it's an overt cover-up. They never intend to protect any marine mammals. We had reports of monk seals being hooked on long lines way back. NOAA wouldn't do anything. We had reports of birds dying on long lines. This is earlier, way back. NOAA wouldn't do anything. Then they came up with a book to say, well, we're going to require them to report it. So now, today, they want you to still believe that they are going to protect something, and you should trust anything they say. So any of these marine mammals that interact with military, NOAA can just sign a death warrant and call it a permit, incidental take permit. So don't be alarmed if nothing ever happens to the Navy, because they're one and the same. They have purposely made sure that any animal that interact or get in their path, any species that basically causes them problems or impede their work or what it is that they want, the Navy or any other entity, they have their sister agency under the same, on Commerce, who has the responsibility of issuing permits. Turtles, in the water, they belong to who? NOAA. On land, they belong to Fish and Wildlife, basically. Walrus, who does a walrus with them? Because they don't interfere with any fisheries. Just so happened, Fish and Wildlife has the walrus protection, even though it's a marine mammal. So I hope that gives you a little insight as to why I don't believe what's being said. And I don't believe what I read now, and I never did because I know a little more than the average bug on the windshield. But what I can tell you is this. We are purposely killing, and through these tests, military tests, and these missile tests, and underwater drone tests, and all of that, these have frequencies. They've covered themselves. So don't expect some sheriff to hop off of his dolphin and arrest the Navy. It ain't going to happen because NOAA got their back covered. NOAA is signing death certificates for, they call them permits, incidental take permits, but what they really are is death certificates. for marine mammals. So when you see a stranding such as this, it's not us, not us. When in fact NOAA is making comments. But if I were to ask NOAA about a simple issue of a turtle in a net or a monk seal that has been injured, they would tell me we can't make a comment because it's under investigation. But dolphins, a part of them, can strand themselves, and they are making all profusely talking about it to protect the Navy and the military. You figure that one out. So anyway, someone called earlier, and you can call back 888-5204, 888-5204. I want to hear from you. Hopefully your thoughts didn't forget them. But this is not a game, but they treat it as if it's a game. You see, these agencies, and you and I know we have to test our weaponry if we're going to develop them. We're not taking issue with that. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
I'm not the guy that you referred to. Excuse me again. I'm kind of disturbed about all this interspecies relationship. It's like there you are at the top of the chain being a watcher in Catalina, watching for people that somehow have what seems to be a competitive or Darwinian kind of reason for shooting monk seal so they can improve their profits and getting their fish.
Now, let me make sure that there weren't monk seals on, they're not monk seals on Catalina. It was the seals and harbor seals and sea lions. So I want to make sure if I'm confused or something.
Okay, well, I'm sure I can get confused on the details, but the interspecies rivalry is bothering me to a point because what gender is a robot? What kind of species is that going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And is there actually another species that's as predatory as a human and has better camouflage?
No.
We all got to eat. We all got to live.
Yeah.
Everybody designs a bigger weapon to take more corporate resources.
Much of our resources is not lost to the gathering of food. It's lost to the manipulation and manufacturing of weaponry. You know, a lot of our lands and open space dedicated to weaponry and militaristic activity. Anyway, that's we kill the earth by protecting ourselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We seem to have somewhat quietly, scientifically, a runaway greenhouse effect that they're trying to counteract, and that's quadrupling the effect.
Yeah, well, and there's so much other things left on the periphery that the greenhouse effect is of concern, but give you an example. You take the sardine industry on California. They depleted the fisheries, right? But understand the much of the sardine fisheries, what happened and why did it decline, the population of sardines? Because, in the anchovy, because we were actually taking the anchovy and the sardines, taking it back into the meal and drying them up, grinding them up and making meal to feed chickens to produce eggs, right? But then on the other end, we had chicken feed. But then we had word that we didn't want to flood the market with the eggs. So we kill off our anchovy and our sardines to feed the chickens, but we don't want too many eggs. So you see how nonsensical. But if you talk to an educated person, they will say that you and I are just talking out of school. But in reality, that's what has happened. We have killed our environment. And it's not all just the warming factor and the heating factor and, you know, global warming. It's also the stupidity that we see time after time in how we rely on our resources to get a perfect egg, but then we don't want all the perfect eggs to be sold because that would impact the market and the price. So we destroy and dump millions and millions of eggs. You follow?
Yeah, I follow. The concentrated animal feeding operations all over the mainland. My friend farmed in the 60s. Now 2017. And are they still going to get that CAFO up there in Kauai?
Oh, I have no idea. With Ige in the seat, you might get the BFO. Who knows? We never
have you heard about the fish farming that's going on where where the ecological cycle is, that the fish consume a waste product of a shrimp, and those fish don't create omega-3s, and those are the fish that are probably sold at McDonald's and around the world. Come on. I don't get it. Why it's got to be so gross, all this living.
Well, it's because we never have had control. Only the first day we had control and went to hell in the handbasket from there. You know,
I mean, you say it's a beautiful day out here, but then what? Think back to 1700 or 1800? People were lined up in rectangles and walking right into front of cannons.
Well,
and that was called war.
Well, but it's still a beautiful day. If I can breathe air and just breathe and look around, it's a beautiful day. If I can walk, and if I couldn't walk, if I was stuck like a stick in the mud, it's still a beautiful day. Because I don't know what's on the other side, brother. And I
like to know where you get that from, because I need a heavy pocketful of happiness. Like
it's simple. Try not to think outside the box and don't let them influence you. You just commit yourself
well,
to
it. Thanks for letting me jump in on your show there.
All righty.
And we'll see what else we can learn. Thank you.
All right. Take care. You know, there is so much contradiction in the management of our natural resources. And so much is forgotten, and so much is overlooked, and so much is never understood. And we see this where we will take a dollar and shred it to make a penny. Some people, they say, well, this guy will bend over and break his neck to pick up a dime. It depends on what we'll do. But we spend all of our resources in nonsensical things. We shouldn't see the depletion of fish as we see them. We shouldn't. We talk about the fish and the population of fish, and we say, well, the longliners are really having a great impact on it and all. And but let me tell you something. Again, as a game warden, it was part of my duty was to inspect the fish plants there in Long Beach and San Pedro, and also the boats. Those boats had tuna canneries. And so they closed those canneries down and moved, many of them moved down. There was boats where they had the big ships with the helicopters, and the helicopter with purseiners and what have you. And they moved, and I think they moved them to Samoa. So this way you could catch the fish coming and going, you see, when they go and have the autumnal fat on one side. So instead of the migration, so instead of waiting on one side of the world until they come to you, put yourself in the middle, then you could have access to these fish seasonally throughout the year. And so all of these strategies are employed, and so once again, it made sense for Noah, the dolphins, and the purse seines. Well, Noah would give permits, incidental take permits. And so we see depletions of dolphin populations in many areas. So when you see, the next time you see a story about Noah and the promises and the assurances that he gives you, well, we know our friend the Navy is not doing anything. Just do me and you a favor. Just realize that you are dealing with the lowest ranking people there are in the lying machine. Whatever they tell you, even if they told you the golden truth, by the time they get back to their office, it has to be fashioned in a way to protect the people or the agencies that they're tasked with protecting, the Navy, the military, and things of that nature, the Army, those people that have major impacts on our natural resources and on the marine mammals and the fisheries and what have you. So just know that. So we hope that they take care of matters, and I don't know if it'll ever change. I think, you know, we say everything's on about global warming, but don't forget about the hot-headed bureaucrat. That's who's also mucking up things. Because, you see, to give a license to kill things and to exercise and to do tests and what have you with hot waters and bubbles on submarines and all of this, and what does it do to fish? Fish also respond to high level frequency or low level frequency depending on what's being emitted. So just know that global warming is a reality and a concern, but I'm more worried about the practices within government and the cover-up and the watching, scratching backs, and the front door keepers like NOAA, the National Marine Fisheries Service. They serve no purpose. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service could do a better job, do the job, and they're not stepping on one another, and you'll get a straight answer. But with NOAA, you get nothing but lies and lies and lies. So, anyway, we'll see you next week. Take care. Watch out for those stinking, sinking boats. And where is Susanna Case? Where is she? I haven't seen her. Haven't heard from her. Tell us about these things, Suzanne, as a chairperson of the Land and Natural Resources. What's next? Take care. We'll see you. Aloha.
And for love's sake, each mistake, oh, you forgave. And soon both of us learn to trust, not run away.
It was no time to play.
We filled it up.
That's what this love is.
That's what we've got. Oh.
Solid. Solid as a rock. And nothing's changed it.
The thrill is still hot.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.